Welcome to this programme and our podcast of highlights from recent discussions in NCSL in Dialogue, Talk to Learn's online community for national education debate, accessed by more than 16,000 school leaders every month.
This edition focuses on a recent hot seat examining recruitment of staff and ways to improve how it's managed by schools, governors and partner organisations like local authorities and diocesan boards. It's been produced as part of the launch of NCSL's Tomorrow's Leaders Today, which has a detailed section to support all those involved in organising or applying for a senior post in a school. More information can be found on the NCSL website. All comments featured are represented by the voices of actors. What can be done to improve the recruitment and application process? Which websites and publications are most frequently checked by school leaders looking for jobs? And what factors influence the decision to apply? These were some of the topics up for discussion when contributors shared their first-hand experiences of recruitment in a hot seat with Alison Curtis, Deputy Director for Shared Services in the Department for Children, Schools and Families. Criticisms of what many contributors thought was an often ponderous procedure included tight deadlines that did not allow applicants enough time to prepare properly and a lack of useful information from prospective employers who sometimes filled forms with irrelevant questioning. One contributor said that if he couldn't find a clear weekend in which to write an application, then he simply wouldn't bother.
I don't have time in a working week to do justice to the personalisation that a deputy headship application requires.
Another school leader described his difficulties in looking for a deputy head post in a junior school.
I found on a number of occasions, especially when a job has been re-advertised, that the spec hasn't been updated or dates haven't been altered. Once the pack arrives, it's a mad rush, especially if you want to go and look around the school to get the application filled out, checked, etc.
Mark Hellstrip, head of the Yeovil Centre, a pupil referral unit in Somerset, felt that too much of the application form was devoted to irrelevant information about qualifications.
I'm looking for a headship and, like many others, have graduate qualifications, QTS and MPQH. I find it irritating to have to fill in the columns asking which school I attended in 1966. It no longer exists. Or what qualifications I achieved in 1973. These were checked at my College of Education, and there's no reason why these can't be checked at the CRB stage.
Others had found the quality of information sent out varied widely between schools, and their decision to apply for a post was often influenced by it. A secondary subject leader felt employers could sharpen their job description skills.
It's very frustrating to go to all the effort of applying for a job to find that you do not fit their criteria.
Reflecting on his experiences of being shortlisted for deputy head posts, Paul Rafferty, a primary leader in County Durham, thought a more business-like model would be less time-consuming than the current inefficient recruitment process.
The system seems antiquated and, unfortunately, as we deal with governors who are mostly often out of education, the safe maxim of, well, I know him or her because they work here, seems to be uppermost and those candidates get the job. This ensures that there's a huge amount of time and money wasted. I feel that in the future we should consider using the industry model, where a candidate is informally interviewed and then invited for a formal interview by their line manager and an independent representative of the authority.
Cathy Jones, business manager at a primary school on Merseyside, pinpointed how overlapping systems contrive to produce a sluggish recruitment process.
As a member of the senior management team, I know how hard it can be to try and fit everything into a term. We know we need to advertise, but are forced to wait for a full governor's meeting for rubber stamping. Once the agreement is received, we have to send in the details to staffing, who generally have closing dates a week in advance. As some vacancies are advertised bi-weekly, this creates another hold-up.
One improvement would be to introduce a minimum notice period of 3 months for staff, replacing the current fixed dates for giving notice, which places great strain on schools at certain times of the academic year, said John Brogio, responsible for Key Stage 3 maths at a secondary school in Warsaw.
This way, a more flexible approach to recruitment can be adopted. Every other walk of life manages this system. There's no reason why we can't do so as well.
The move by many local authorities and schools to advertising online was widely welcomed by many, though several contributors felt more could be done to capitalise on the benefits offered by technology. Electronic application is definitely streamlining the process, said Anne Munro, head of primary at a middle school in Northumberland.
Given that every local authority has a different form, It does make it easier to complete the information in a legible manner.
Access to job descriptions and or full application packs online was similarly welcomed by several contributors. Matthew White, numeracy coordinator at a Liverpool primary school.
The application process has changed little in the last 10 years, with TES being the main port of call. But with schools becoming more creative or frugal in their preferred method of advertising, finding the right post is increasingly difficult. It's time this changed, and a system that supports both advertiser and applicant using available technology is the way to go.
One school finance officer said she preferred to look at adverts online, reviewing personal specification and job descriptions before requesting further information.
I think that this process is potentially likely to change, mainly due to the fact that everything else appears to be becoming centralised. All jobs will be advertised from a central point, with maybe just a link to the relevant school or LA.
Thanking contributors for their views and ideas, Alison Curtis said the DCSF was looking at several options for improving recruitment. One approach being examined is to offer schools a shared support service, but one which would allow them to retain individual control of the process.
I have appreciated the input from school leaders and the support of NCSL in setting the discussion up. It is wonderful to be able to hear from such a wide range of schools and staff, and I'm very grateful for all the time that respondents have put in. The comments have highlighted the efforts schools make in finding talented people and have given us some useful ideas about areas to support in the future.
As part of its succession planning strategy, NCSL has gleaned from around the country a wealth of information to support all those involved with recruiting or applying for leadership posts. This information can be found by visiting the Tomorrow's Leaders Today part of the NCSL website at www.ncsl.org.uk. And that completes this programme. Thanks for listening. And don't forget, you can subscribe to receive future programmes in this series of Talk to Learn highlights at www.ncsl.org.uk/online communities.
Talk to Learn has over 100,000 members. If you'd like to join, visit www.ncsl.org.uk/online communities.